if you're in a fund and you're literally invested in hundreds of businesses, then that's less than him buying individual businesses. But I do think it's fascinating that oftentimes the opposite of good advice is more good advice. And like, so good advice, you should diversify. Good advice, you should focus.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Business Lunch. Technically, it's Business Post Lunch because Ryan and I just literally had lunch together. We have had lunch and are both staying awake and long enough after to have a Business Lunch podcast. So anyway, welcome to the show. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing really great. We didn't have any wine or anything at lunch, and that's probably a good thing.
Five bottles open, as you know. Yep. That are sitting in the cold room, and they are from our Bordeaux tasting, and I think that they should probably be approached after our meeting today.
Oh, we're gonna drink the crap out of it. Yeah, that's happening. But first, we got to give the people what they want, which is amazing insights, ideas, and stuff that's gonna make their business be just insanely successful. So, what's on the docket for today?
I was thinking that we would talk about, did you see that Warren Buffett released his latest shareholders letter?
I didn't. Which normally I actually do try to make a point of reading his shareholder. At least I start, like every single day I read all when they come out. I definitely start reading most of them, but they're fairly long.
They are.
So I don't know that I've made it all the way through any of them, but I typically at least make an attempt at reading it. What do you have to say?
Well, I think interesting. The big highlight, I think, was that the Berkshire portfolio since 1965 when he came in was up 4,400,000% compared to 31,000% for the Standard & Poor's. So the S&P not doing terrible, you know, over that period of time, but obviously he's doing significantly better. I forget the math in it. I think it said it was 251 times better, but I could be wrong. But you guys can do that math yourself, but it was pretty amazing. And I know you and I were talking not long ago about his saying on diversification, which I think you have memorized. You want to share that with folks?
It's diversification is a protection against ignorance. It makes little sense if you know what you're doing, is what he said. Diversification is a protection against ignorance. It makes little...
Which is interesting. It's interesting for him to say, though, because he owns an insurance company, a soft drink company, a candy company, a furniture warehouse,
insurance company,
companies. I mean, it feels like he is actually pretty diverse. So I'm not sure if he's like, did he say that when he owned just the insurance company?
I think he's basically talking about why, if you know what you're doing, you should invest in individual companies as opposed to a fund, but I still think it's in. So obviously we're talking about something that's very relative, right? I mean, so if you're in a fund and you're literally invested in hundreds of businesses, then that's less than him buying individual businesses. But I do think it's fascinating that oftentimes the opposite of good advice is more good advice. And like, so good advice, you should diversify. Good advice, you should focus. Like those are both good advice. I think it's worth When is it right to focus and when is it right to diversify? What do you think?
I've had that same challenge with cliches because it's look before you leap, but he who hesitates is lost. I mean, there's like, but it's hard. So let's talk about it. So, and on the other side, our buddy that owns LVMH that founded that, at least you said, now that we've shared an airport suite together, I feel like we go way back. But you read something, I think, that there was a little challenge in LVMH land.
Yeah, so at LVMH, if you don't know, it's one of the more valuable companies in the world, and they basically Bernard Arnault acquired, rolled up pretty much every major luxury brand that you've ever heard of. So Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy, just a few of them. I mean, what are some of the other big LVMH brands?
Luxottica owns every single basically luxury eyeglass company that you can think of. Cheval Blanc, obviously, for the hotels and the wine, which is pretty good. And then I believe that they own Fenty Beauty, which is with Riri, who we all love. But a lot of, I mean, quite a few. It might even be, is it Christian Dior? There's another fashion house that yeah. they've got as well.
But yeah, he's basically like, so LVMH has been struggling a little bit on the market. And the idea is, like, what I was reading is he's kind of getting assessed with the conglomerate tax. And mm-hmm. so while CEOs really love and entrepreneurs very often, we really love the idea of roll-ups and holding companies. We love the diversification that it brings, you know, how you can have some that are a bit, you know, maybe even counter-cyclical, though pretty much all luxury, so not really counter-cyclical. But Wall Street's a center, not Wall Street necessarily, but I mean, investors are basically saying like, hey, the reality is when you own this many companies, you're not focused on any one of them. So we're kind of going to assess you a little bit of a conglomerate tax here. You know, we'd much rather see CEOs that are focused on just building the one brand. And so there's talks about how he may have to even start selling off some of these brands. So it is this constant tension between, should we diversify? Should we roll out more products, or should we focus on the ones we have? Should we look to do M&A and grow that way? Or should we just, you know, focus on what we have? And I just think it's equally good advice, depending on the time, that yes, you should focus, and yes, you should diversify. Because like right now, he looked like a genius for rolling up all these things, but now they're saying, maybe it's not as smart. So who's right? I think the thing is, it depends. It depends on timing, depends on where you are in your entrepreneurial journey. It depends.
That's super helpful to people, I think.
Right? So, let's just leave
either diversify or don't diversify. Yeah. And keep in mind that it depends, and you know, you're welcome for that advice. Yeah. Okay. Well, how do we reconcile these things and come into some sort of helpful conclusions, do you think?
I think early on, when you're first getting started, focus is the answer. And I do see far too many entrepreneurs, and I'm guilty of this as well, trying to launch multiple businesses at the same time. And I think when you're in startup mode, trying to start multiple businesses at the same time is not a great idea. And people will talk about, oh, but you know, Elon Musk, you know, he's the CEO of Tesla, but also SpaceX, but also it's like, yeah, but you know, those weren't necessarily all started at the exact same time. They were funded, they had good teams, they've got operators, you know,
and
running them.
He's alone in his ability to have done that, right?
Yeah, and I also mean, you ain't Elon. Right. So like, let's just set all that aside.
So far in history that I know of, nobody else is either, right?
Right. So I think if you're running a company, if you're operating a business, then yeah, you do want focus. But I also think that there comes a time when you've got to shift from, okay, I'm the inventor and I'm focused on this one particular product, solving, you know, having one product that solves one big problem for one person, right? One product, one problem, one person. Like that's kind of the, you know, in the beginning, I think that's everything. And then what do we start to do? Well, now our focus shifts to focus on building the company. So we shift from, you know, a focused inventor to a focused builder. But I think at some point, if you want to scale, you've got to start thinking less like an inventor, less like a builder, and more like a capital allocator. And I think every great capital allocator is going to have some aspect of diversification. I mean, that's just going to be a tool that they've got to play. So I do think it's a timing. And I do think you're also going to waffle back and forth in your career for when it's appropriate to focus a bit more when you got to diversify. I think anytime though you find yourself wanting to diversify, there better be somebody around who's focusing. Because if everybody is in diversification mode and nobody's focusing on the individual, that's when I think it becomes a problem, especially for smaller businesses.
I don't know what the structure of LVMH is, but one thing that I will say towards Buffett is that his investments are generally based around the CEO and the operating team. And he's very, very hands-off. I think they have 26 people in Omaha that despite the, I think it's hundreds of thousands of employees that, I think it's 400,000 employees, some large number that all of his companies and major investments have. He has 26 employees. He is not diversified in how he goes about identifying the investments to pursue. He is not diversified in that he's going to hold on to cash. I think they have 186 billion now, more than the market value of Uber and Airbnb in cash, just sitting on the sidelines because they haven't found a place to deploy it and they're in bonds. And the companies that he's got are, in fact, fairly focused. If you look at each of them, like the Omaha Furniture Company sells furniture. See's Candies sells candy. It doesn't sell toothbrushes and dental care and you know, other things that might be indirectly related to it. And so across the board, I think that they are, he is an investor and he's investing in companies and they haven't diversified. So there's not Buffett hamburger sauce, right? There's just basically Berkshire that invests in companies using a singular method or thesis to find the companies that they have. And then the companies themselves are not forced to become part of the conglomerate and buy each other's services. They are happy, you know, they're like, they're free to do what they want to do. I don't know if LVMH is like that. If it is more conglomeratized, then it might suffer from some of that. Although given the fact that he's consistently, you know, number one or two richest man in the world, I got to think that he's doing okay, you know, despite what the media says. So it'll be interesting to see. And it might be worth us diving a little bit into the structure of that company to see how, you know, and you guys that are out there too, love to hear from you if you know. But that would be something that we like, is it a conglomerate so that it's just a, you know, a pressing together of a bunch of unrelated things? Like the old, I think it was it GE under Harold Janine was like that, GE Capital and all that stuff. They just bought all kinds of completely unrelated companies and had hundreds of them. LVMH seems to be pretty focused on the luxury space and serving that well. So it would be interesting to know, because I think there was a little suspect of that article, which I haven't seen yet, but.
The article was primarily criticizing. He like added two of his sons to the board, was a big part of it. And so it's, you know, not seeing it. And look, there has been a pullback in luxury as interest rates have gone, you know, have gone up as the, you know, markets pull back a little bit. You're always going to see luxury take a bit of a dip, but that's just a market cycle. But there are folks who anytime things aren't all just up and to the right, people are going to start to question ultimately what
usually you're doing. Broke people that write articles as opposed
usually
to
broke people that write articles. But I do think it's important to point out, and this is for all entrepreneurs out there, I think that diversification is a luxury, not a right. Mm-hmm. You know, and so your ability to diversify is going to be a function of how good of a job have you done with the core business that you have today of getting it systemized and getting it scalable. And when you make the decision, okay, we're going to diversify, I think you got to be clear on, okay, who's that we? Because every time, I mean, I remember, you know, I decided that we were going to diversify the businesses that we had. We were exiting some companies. And so we had, you know, we had one other business that was still kind of in our portfolio that I was actively running. I was like, okay, we need to diversify. The problem was, is we didn't have enough executive level talent to go around. And so when I decided that we were going to diversify, I basically said, okay, executive team, we're now all going to work on multiple projects at the same time. And that just only never works. So I think if you're going to diversify, you've got to build a strong enough business, a systemized enough business, and a profitable enough business that it can afford to have that, it can afford to basically have its single-threaded team, a team that is solely focused on that so that you can achieve what we talk about the five exits. Exit number three is when you can exit the org chart. When you're able to exit the org chart, that means you're leaving an operating team fully systemized, fully operational. You're leaving them behind to focus on the existing business so that you can go out and pursue diversification, either in the form of another startup or another acquisition. But if you simply say, oh, you know, I think we need to diversify because I'm bored, then you're probably going to wind up creating a very exciting situation for yourself while you're simultaneously having to keep the plate spinning at the old company while launching the new.
Yeah, agree 100%. Awesome. I like it. Well, that was pretty cool. I like it. So I guess the takeaways are, if you're going to diversify, be sure that you are, number one, thinking about what are you diversifying? Are you diversifying your existing company and team, or are you diversifying your own investment portfolio? If you're going to diversify your existing team, be careful, because usually what we've seen is that is very difficult to pull off unless it's a pivot. A pivot is basically moving from one thing to another for a good business reason. Moving away from something maybe that's not working or that isn't the larger opportunity to address the larger opportunity, but not continuing to do the old thing. You're literally moving in a different direction.
You're still focusing. You're just changing what you're focusing on.
Exactly. Whereas a personal diversification is that you've got the team in place. They are focused on whatever the thesis of the existing company is. And now you're going to do something different with a different team. And that makes sense, I think, particularly if you look at Bridgewater and Ray Dalio. You know, they kind of, his claim to fame is basically counterperforming markets, so that the risk is if one market goes down, then the other market goes up, and then that lets you have stability over time. So if you were going to invest in an ice cream shop, which is popular in the summer months but not in the winter, and then you invested in a winter clothing company, you know, or a hot chocolate company, then you would have that diversification. Super simple. Obviously his is more complex, but that's kind of the idea. And instead of doing that one thing and having your one company go from hot chocolate to ice cream, you're actually going to say, let's go all in on hot chocolate, and then let's build a team, invest a team, or acquire a company that does this ice cream, so that we've got the two. That, I think, makes a whole lot of sense. And that's what we see Buffett doing, and something that we'd be curious about, Arno. So anyway, hope that's helpful for you guys. And if you enjoyed this episode, then please share it with a friend. And we'll see you next time on Business Lunch. Hey, Roland Frazier here. If you're looking for a way to grow your business exponentially, to get more customers and ultimately increase your wealth, there's no faster way to do it than to acquire other businesses that already have the customers, products, services, teams, and media that you want. If you want to double your sales, just acquire a company that has the same sales as yours. It sounds simple, but far too many people end up starting new businesses that fail and forget that they could skip all the hard stuff and just acquire one that already exists. There's a reason why private equity firms, family offices, big companies like Apple, Google, and some of the smartest entrepreneurs on the planet do not start new businesses from scratch. They acquire already successful businesses. And when they do it, they instantly increase their sales, their profits. If they want market share, they increase that. They can get new products and services to offer all instantly. Hey, look, 90% of new businesses fail. 90%. Why not acquire an already successful business and increase your chances of success by 900%? What most people don't realize is you can acquire highly profitable businesses with no money out of your own pocket in pretty much any country in the world, regardless of your credit, and without having to go find a bunch of investors or needing any experience. Look, I've been acquiring businesses for over 30 years now, and I cover the whole process in my Epic Investing Strategy Training, and I want to give it to you 100% free. Just visit businesslunchpodcast.com/epic to get your free access to my Epic Investing Training right now while it's available.